Salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in a special way. First off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 right now as we speak, we ask you to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other wicked situations just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in our newspapers, see on the television set, or hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you'd help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of. Then we're going to see who's with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast. So let's take care of these preliminary announcements as we get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, I wish you really knew. she could say her name, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-73-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God left us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty counsel of
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have Six, you, Jim, and me.
All right, so how are we doing tonight, Six? He's got himself on mute. Get your coffee, Six. We also heard Dalton out there earlier. So I want to say welcome to Dalton tonight. Did you hear him, Ruth?
Amen. Right here, amen.
Yeah, I did.
Have
and
a great
I think
show.
Six did too, hon.
There you are, Six. Go ahead, Six. All righty. Did you mute yourself again, Six?
Honey, we're going to need to pray for Emily tonight, too. She was telling me she has some issues, so that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, while we're waiting on Six to unmute himself there, and tell us how he's enjoying the program so far, would like to give an outline of basically where we're going tonight. Tonight we've been studying the life of David, who was started out as a shepherd boy, who became king, the second king of Israel. And we're in part 6 tonight. And, of course, as we get in the midst of that, we are in the second week that Pastor Bonnet takes on the song and poem. He's trying to outdo Six, who was 20 for 26. So does he make a better record than Pastor Bonnet? I mean, Pastor Bonnet make a better record than Six? Or will Six still stay number one? We're going to find out how that happens out. There's 26 weeks for Pastor Bonnet to find that out. But tonight he'll be on his second week, and he so far is 1 for 1 with a one good buzzer. Will he make it 2 for 2 tonight, or will he get the bad buzzer? If he gets a bad buzzer, there's still a chance he may choose to use some sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD, etc. Just be aware of that. And then, of course, after we finish our study on David, then we go into Ruth's Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
Oh, Israel's hiding place.
Israel's hiding place. Where are they going to hide? And why are they going to hide? That's a pretty good question.
Yeah, they don't come out right out and say it in that title, but it's Petra, which is Edom and Seir. They're all the same place in the Bible. It's just that they use different names for
Ruthie, you shouldn't give it away until they actually listen to the lesson.
Well, I just thought they might like to know what I'm talking about when I talk about Israel's hiding place.
Shouldn't give it away until your lesson. But that's kind of giving away some of the good stuff. But like I said, and then after that, of course, also why they're hiding. And then after that, then we get into our question of the day, neither having a right nor wrong answer based upon your opinion. And then, of course, our closing prayer. If Six is around by the end of the show, we'll have him give us closing prayer. And then, of course, closing out with our Red Sylvine song, which tonight, if Emily had been listening, it's a special dedication to her. It's like her theme song, so she would have enjoyed that tonight. All right, did you get off your mute there, Six?
I'm right here. Have a great
show. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah. Hold
up,
hold a minute.
We're glad you're there.
I'm right.
Hold on, Ruth. Don't cut him over. Don't cut over the man. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Six.
Don't jump me. I am here. Okay. I am here. We're gonna have a great show tonight. But first, I want you all to check on the elderly. Make sure that they're doing good. Make sure you give them a call. Make sure that their furnace is working properly. And if they do have space heaters, please make sure that they have the ones, the newer models preferably, with the safety feature. If it was to tip over, it cuts off. That's a new safety feature. Otherwise, many has the old faithful, you know, but make sure it's in the middle of the floor, not around anything that can catch fire. And please make sure you're not having drapes, curtains, quilts over the space heater, because in New York and Pennsylvania, they had fatalities. 12 people in Philadelphia and 19 in New York, 9 children, 10 adults. So we want you to be safe here from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hey, have a great show. Those commercials are good. I think you're trying to steal my job. So, you know, but that's great editing. Great editing. So you did a good job. So keep up the good work. I'm here, but I will be on mute enjoying my dinner, Brussels sprouts and lamb shoulder. So God bless and take care. I'm here listening. Have a great show.
All right, Six. So, well, hey, who knows? We might get you to play. We'll have to play those that show's promo for the other shows, like on Sunday and Monday and that kind of thing. Might be a good idea. I have to get you guys to upload it to the board so that you guys can play it on the other shows. So that'd be a good idea. So, all right. So with that,
before
I think
we get started, before we get started, let's see how good your memory is. Okay. Hold
uh-huh.
on. Let's hold
hello.
On. Let's see if he
hello,
hear you.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Uh-huh. Do you know, have any idea who that is?
Oh, I know the voice, but I just can't place it. That's
say it one
the thing.
Time.
I do know the voice. Let's see. Is that Nikki?
Can't place it. I know your voice, and I can place it. How you doing, Mr.
Oh, wait. Well, okay. I had to think a second time. That's Rochelle.
Wow. That is her. You're good.
Took me a second to think twice about that because she sounds so close to Nikki. And I said, wait a minute. No, that ain't Nikki. That's Rochelle. There it is.
What's going on?
Well, we're having a good time tonight with our show, and glad to have you on board.
All right, all right. Thank you for having me, and that sounds pretty good there.
I mean, maybe we could have do a song or something sometime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, see,
we might just have to have her on the Friday show to do a song for us.
Yeah, we got to get her back on the Jumbo Braille. But I'm going to brag on her for a minute. So she's in the process of working on music right now as we speak. She's working on music. And also, be on the lookout. Got some great things coming up. But from the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want to say condolences to a good friend of mine who passed away, Gary Hartwell, senior, passed away, good friend of mine. So we want to say condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family, friends at this difficult time. This is a DJ who passed away. So just want to say condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network to your family and your friends. Also, we lost legendary singer Meat Loaf, who passed away at 74. And we lost fashion icon Andre Fatale, who passed away. So we want to sing condolences to his family and friends from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hey, check on your loved ones. Praying for the world, mankind. Now I put the show back in the hands of the Wolf. Ow! All right. God bless and
all
stay
right.
safe.
Okay, and Six, one more thing. Knowing that there are lots of scriptures that we cover on the Friday show, I would like you to tell everybody how they can get this show later so they can get the notes if they miss them tonight.
All right, I will be glad to do that. So here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we're on several platforms. Our many countries that we're in, and we're blessed to have the countries that we're in, our surrounding cities and states and faraway countries. But for your iPhone, Android users, tablet, Android, or iPad, you can go to your podcast section on your phone, type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO. In the top right corner, you want to press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. You'll have this show on a Monday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. You get the point. So you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. So that way, if you're missing the show, if you're cooking, if you're multitasking, you can check this show out before you go to sleep. Simply go to your podcast portion and the search, type in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO, and you'll have the Talking to Missionary Ken Wolfgang whenever you want it, and you can listen and enjoy and, hey, get spiritually fed. That's how you do it. All right.
And also, like I was just saying, you can also, if you missed any of these scriptures, you'll be able to go back to it as well. But for right now, those that are very fast, Rochelle, if you're fast with your Brailler, get that out. Ruth, she's got to get out her slate and stylus. And then get out your tablet, your note taker, vocal note, whatever it may be that you take notes with. But if not, you can always, like Six says, get this on demand later and make notes, take your time. But here we go with our program tonight as we study the life of David. This is part 6. And here we go.
All right. Have a great show. God bless.
Take care.
For those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of this podcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? Which of David's enemies you dislike most? But now it's time to get into our study of David. And this will be David, part 6. And our main scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 15. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of your coffee. Take us there.
Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business with or about I send thee. And what I have commanded thee, I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. The young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the shewbread. It was taken from before the Lord to put not bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because this king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there's no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall out upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?
All right, and now we find some good meat here. We find, of course, David as he's running from Saul. We find him going to this priest, asking for bread. And Jesus made reference to this later in the New Testament, which we'll discuss. And then he asked for a sword. David asked for a sword. And, of course, the priest says, the only thing we got here is the sword of Goliath. So David gets that. And then, of course, we find David going to this city in Gath, which is a city of the Philistines, and then profaning himself to be mad because he feared the king or ruler of Gath. And, of course, the ruler there saying, why'd you bring this guy here? Amen. All right, but let's get to studying each part of this text so we can savor it and get it down into our hearts as to what exactly happened. So our first context is found in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 and 2. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Okay, David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid of the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place.
Here we find David as he first meets Ahimelech the priest, and the priest says to David,
why are you here? What's going on? And David says, well, the king has given me a certain business. Now, he doesn't tell what that business is. Why? Because he's trying to make off like the king had given him a certain errand to run. But in reality, what he's doing is he's trying to run from Saul, and he doesn't want any chance of this priest running back to Saul, telling where he's going, where David is going. So he's being very vague here. And so he tells the priest that he's got this errand to run for Saul, and then he tells the priest, so he's got this business for the king, and then he tells him, look, I have to do this business. I have to be in haste. I have to do what I got to do. And so the priest basically takes it hook, line, and sinker. All right, and now let's continue to see what happens here between this priest and David with our next scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel 21, verses 3 and 4. 1 Samuel 21, verses 3 and 4. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give thee 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. The priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is a hallowed bread. The young men have kept themselves at least from women.
So after David explaining why he's alone, because the priest had asked him, now David's asking for the first thing he needs. He's asking this priest about some bread so that he could feed himself and his soldiers. And the priest says, wait a minute, wait one second here. I ain't got regular, ordinary bread under my hand. I ain't got that. But I do have the hallowed bread. I've got that. But David, you can't have that. The only way I can give it to you is if you and your men have been held from women. And David said, basically, we've been kept from women for the last few days, etc. Now, why is this important? The reason it's important is because there is in the Mosaic law, it's all underwritten by what is known as the law of life. Jesus made reference to this time and time and time again. He said, when they talked about him and his disciples plucking ears of corn on the Sabbath day, he says, wait a minute, wouldn't you go and pull a sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath day? Why? Because in that pit, there may not be no water, and the sheep would be hungry and go thirsty and dehydrate and die in that pit. So, because it is the law of life, it's not classified work to save that sheep. And he says, how much better is a man than a sheep? Well, in this case, David, knowing the law of life laid down in the law of Moses, is appealing to this priest. Hey, we need something to eat. And if you don't give us something to eat, we're going to die. So he appeals to this priest, knowing that the priest will give him something, even if it is the hallowed bread, because of the law of life. And all the priest says is, hey, if you and your men have kept from women, I could give it to you. But that's the only reason. And David, of course, answering, saying, yeah, we've been kept from women for this certain period of time. All right, now we'll continue and we'll prove that the priest does give David the bread, thus proving that it is the law of life that the priest acknowledges. In our next scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel 21, verses 5 to 7, 1 Samuel 21, verses 5 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the shewbread. It was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul.
And here we find, of course, yes, David proving that the men had not been with women, the priest giving the bread, which was the showbread, and then we find this man there, a servant of Saul, and that's all we find is he's there. Now, there's a reason for God pointing out that this guy is there, but right now, we're not going to know why. But later we find out that that guy, he ends up being like a spy for Saul. But the thing is, this guy is there, but see how David, he kept hush-hush what he was up to. So just in case such a person might be lurking about. So we find right here that this man is lurking about. Servant of Saul. Amen. And now, we're going to get ready for our final wrap-up scripture. But as we do, I just want to remind everybody about Pastor Bonnet as he has been beginning our song and poem. So far, he is one for one with one good buzzer in a row. So will he make it two for two with two good buzzers in a row? Or not. Will he get the good buzzer or the bad buzzer? We'll find out after this scripture text, which will wrap up this half of the show. And it is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there's no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shewbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul.
And so far, what we found was David shows up to this priest telling him that Saul had sent him out on a business. He's actually kind of covering up because he's trying to run from Saul. He doesn't want Saul to know where he's going or what he's doing. So David is saying that this king has sent him out on a certain business. He asked the priest for what bread he can get because he's hungry. The priest says, well, we ain't got any common bread, but we got the hallowed bread. But if you're from women, I could give it to you. And David says, yeah, we've been kept from women for at least 3 days. And so, doing so, the priest gives him the bread. And then we find a man of Saul lurking in the background, which later we're going to find is actually a spy for Saul. But right now, that's what we find. But now it's time to turn the mic over to Pastor Bonnet and see if he could give us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call a geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to try myself to sleep.
Trapped by circumstance in dark and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs, one man held his log back, for on the faces round the fire, he noticed one was black. The next one looking across the way saw one not from his church. He couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes and gave his coat a hitch. Why should my log be used, he asked, to aid the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his piece of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man in this forlorn group did nothing except for gain. Giving only to those who gave to him was how he played the game. Six logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They did not die from the cold without. They died from the cold within.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
All right. There are two distinguished examples here. The song, it shared about we're all the same, especially in God's eye, we're all the same. So he kept saying, don't laugh at me. But in the poem, it was also an example of all of us being the same. In this example, they were all withholding, but withholding for different reasons, so they all were doing the same thing. So if I had to come with a common theme between the two is we're all the same. And so good, bad, right or wrong, in God's eyes, we're all the same. I think that's the common message.
Well, although good, it's close, but no cigar this time. We were looking for either learn to love one another or don't be prejudiced.
Okay, okay. So we can love one another. I guess that would be, I guess I should have continued on my exclamation, but I take the negative. Next time I need to go all the way out with my exclamation. So I don't have to shoot the mother. And that's one I didn't get completely right. Okay.
So you're going to be nice to the buzzer and let it go this time. So, all right, what we'll do, we're going to pause here to hear about the great programming found only here at the Success Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Success Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study. With the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me. Don't call me. Don't get your pleasure from my
the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God's left us, it's because we refuse to
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. All right, we're back. Hallelujah. And I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of this broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? But right now, we're going to get back into our study of David. This is part six, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 21. Verses 8 and 9, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me.
All right. Now you notice he'd already asked for bread. But David ain't done asking for stuff. What does he ask for? Now he's asking this priest, do you have a sword here? I didn't bring my sword, he says, because the king's business, he's still keeping it secret what he's up to. And he says, the king's business, he's making off like the king is asking to go do some business, do something, and he asked me to do this in haste, and I didn't even get the chance to grab my sword. So he's asking this priest if he has a sword on hand. Yeah, right. Like most priests would have a sword on hand. Usually they would not. But in this case, this particular priest had the sword of Goliath, who David slew, had that sword on hand. And the priest says, yeah, we got this sword over here. That Goliath, basically, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. So you could have it. You could have it. Hey, you're the one who fought the battle and won. So, yeah, you could have it. If you want to take it, I don't got no need for it. That's what he's basically saying. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Verses 10 to 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish. the king of Gath. He changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrapped on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore, then, have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?
And now we find that David leaves, and now we actually see his running from Saul. Why he was looking for the sword and the bread, etc. It was because he was running from Saul. And lo and behold, he goes to the city of Gath, Philistines. And when he gets there, they notice a key word here. David wasn't even king. David was not even king. But this man, who was a king or ruler of this particular group of Philistines, he says, Is this not King David? King David. He already recognized that David was going to be the king, of whom they sang in dances. David had killed his 10,000s while Saul killed his thousands. They recognized him already as the next upcoming king. And then when David realized that this guy didn't like him, etc., and was worried about it, he played the madman. David played the madman. For what reason, I'm not sure, but he played the madman. Maybe as we continue in our study on David, we'll find out why he did this. But this man says, hey, do we need madmen here? Why'd you bring him here? So that's what we find. All right, now let us do a recap of this half of the show as we look into this next scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 8 to 15. 1 Samuel 21, verses 8 to 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said unto Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requires haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart, and was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrapped on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have we brought him to me? Well, have I heard need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?
And so we do find, of course, David getting this sword because he needed a sword. And then he leaves, of course, and ends up over there in Gath. But when he heard them say about him being the king and out that he had killed his 10,000s, that's when he feigned himself to be a madman and faked off being that he's crazy because of that reason. Amen. All right, now we're going to recap the whole show by reading the whole text that we read tonight, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 15, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 15. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, the king hath commanded me and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is a hallowed bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days. So I came out, and the vessels of the young man are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it is sanctioned this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the shewbread that was taken from before the Lord to put her hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here another thine hand, spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requires haste. The priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up his words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the son of Gath. He changed his behavior before him and defamed himself mad in their hands and scrubbed on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, let me see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have we brought him to me? Have I need to madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? So this was come into my house?
And so basically what we've learned is David goes, the biggest thing we've learned, let's say it this way, is David asks for bread first from this priest, and using the law of life was allowed to get the bread that he needed. Using the law of life, as we discovered and talked about in the first part of our study tonight, because if he had not gotten the bread, him and his men probably would have died of hunger. Priest, knowing the law of life, found in the book of Moses that underwrote and underwritten the law of Moses, he allowed David to have the showbread, which he normally is not supposed to have, but he had it anyway and gave it to him anyway because of the law of life, which is what Jesus referred to time and time again in his encounters with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then we also find David getting the sword of Goliath from this priest. We find, which we're going to be watching for, with this little henchman of Saul's was doing in the temple. We're going to find out what he was doing there and what he will end up doing as we continue our study. And, of course, what happens with David in the city of Gath. We'll be finding that out. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of this broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and a few other messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1-Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting.
It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and that there is no time to get your mind out of the world and take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is all goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is talking.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
This
lesson is Israel's hiding place. I think you'll find this interesting. There is to be a remnant of the Jewish people in Palestine, which is now the state of Israel, when the Antichrist breaks his seven-year peace treaty with them. They are to flee into the mountains south of Jerusalem after he proclaims himself God. Okay, here's the scripture. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, of course that's the Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place of a Jewish temple, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. That's Matthew 24, verses 15 and 16. In other words, sometime during the first half of the seven-year tribulation period, God will send an angel from heaven to mark 144,000 of the Israelites on the forehead, that is 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, who will be living in and near the city of Jerusalem. When the Antichrist goes into the Jewish temple and breaks the seven-year peace treaty, then 144,000 Israelites are cautioned in the book of Matthew to flee into the mountains, into a place that God has prepared for them. Naturally, a person wonders where this place might be. There have been much speculation down through the years as to where the Israelites' remnant will flee. Well, it's no secret. There is a rock city, Petra, which is simply a great volcanic crater located in the country of Edom, approximately 150 miles south of Jerusalem. Here's the scripture. And the woman Israel fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. And to the woman Israel was given two wings of a great eagle. She might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, Satan. Revelation 12, 6 and 14 in the King James Version. Isn't it amazing such a city has been preserved and kept intact down through the years, awaiting the time when the future occasion would arise for the safekeeping of a remnant of God's people? In the book of Daniel, we learn that the Antichrist, when he comes into power, is to take three nations by force. Those three nations are Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Scripture, he, Antichrist, shall stretch forth his hand of pulse upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he, Antichrist, shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps under his control. Daniel 11, 42 and 43 KJV. But when you read the verse, immediately after these two verses, you see that God, in his great overall plan, will permit the country of Edom, where is located the famous Rose Red City, into which the Israelitish remnant will flee, be spared from the serious hand of the Antichrist. Scripture, he, Antichrist, shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. Daniel 11, 41 KJV. So we're told in the book of Daniel, written approximately 500 years before the first coming of Jesus Christ, that the land of Edom is going to escape out of the Antichrist's hand for the simple reason that the Rose Red City is to be kept from the jurisdiction of the Antichrist. The reason the remnant will flee from into the desert to escape from the reach of the Antichrist is that God has had prepared a place down through the centuries of time for this one specific occasion. The origin of the Rose Red City of Petra goes back to 800 B.C. Its inhabitants date back to the eldest son of Isaac, namely Esau, who, because of having sold his birthright for a mess of red pottage, was given the name of Edom, which is red, and he became the father of the Edomites. Petra lies in the land of Edom, which is going to be protected from the onslaught of the Antichrist. God will keep the land of Edom for a place of refuge for the Israelites' remnant, so they can be shielded against the wrath of Satan. They'll be fed by God from heaven once more, as were their forefathers in the days of Moses. When they wandered for 40 years in the desert, once more the remnant of Israel will drink of the water which is flowing from the rock, which tradition says Moses struck, till Christ comes and gives them the living water which flows from the rock of ages. The stone city of Petra was occupied by a wild Arabian tribe until World War I, at which time the British were forced to enter and drive them out. It now lies vacant, awaiting the flight of the remnant, which will take place approximately 3.5 years after the Israelites had accepted the Antichrist's seven-year peace treaty. Verona is in, remain in hiding in this great rock city, and for 3.5 years, so the last half of the seven-year tribulation period is over, the Bible tells us. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God. They should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. Revelation 12:6 in KJV, another scripture. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, 42 months from the face of the serpent. Revelation 12:14. At the end of 3.5 year occupation of the city of Petra by the Israelitish remnant, Jesus Christ will come from heaven to fight the Battle of Armageddon, where he will be opposed by the armies of the world under the personal supervision of the satanic Antichrist. The Jewish remnant is instructed to Scripture to flee into the mountains where they see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Who, Antichrist, opposes and exalts himself of all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 in King James Version. When this particular incident takes place, the remnant of the Israelites, who previously will have guaranteed a seven-year peace treaty by the satanic Antichrist, are specifically urged to flee into a rock fortress city located approximately 150 miles south of the city of Jerusalem in the land of Edom. The city of Petra is a very romantic and beautiful place, and is described by Mr. Lowell Thomas, the radio commentary, in the following manner. One of the most colorful and romantic episodes of World War I in the land of the Arabian Nights was the battle fought in an ancient deserted city that had been asleep for 1,000 years, only to wake to the booming of big guns and the spirited clash of Turks and Arabs. Here among the immemorial and perfect ruins of a lost civilization stands a city to which few travelers have ventured. It is known as a red, rose-red city, half as old as time, carved out of the enchanted mountains of Edom. It lies deep in the wilderness of the desert, not far from Mount Horeb, where the Israelites are believed to have buried their great leader, Aaron. Spreading off to the north before us were magnificent ridges of red and white sandstone. About 20 miles to the north lay the Red Sea, and beyond, disappearing purple and gray haze, the central Arabian desert. The peaks ahead were the sacred mountains of Edom. Our problem was to penetrate this massive range of sandstone before us. We descended from the high plateau to a valley 12 miles wide that narrowed to 12 feet, a mere defile through the mountain wall. Through this gorge, or rent in the rock, we wandered, marveling at the beauty of the walls, towering hundreds of feet above us, at times almost shutting out the sky. One of our guides, a Bedouin, told us the name of the gorge through which we were going was called Valley of Moses, and said that it was here that Moses brought the water gushing from the rock. The little brook created by the water, which was brought out by Moses, plunges down and among the great boulders, the oleanders and wild fig trees. After pushing our way through the gorge for more than an hour, we suddenly rounded the bend and stood breathless and speechless. There in front of us, 3 miles from any sign of civilized habitation, deep in the heart of the Arabian desert, was one of the most bewildering sights ever rewarded to the eye of man, a stone temple, a delicate and limpid rose carved like a cameo from a solid mountain wall. The temple was carved from this cliff almost 2,000 years ago during the reign of the Roman Emperor Hadrian, who visited Petra in A.D. 131. The city lay farther down on the plain of an oval valley 1.5 miles long and 1 mile wide. How populous it was, there's no way of telling, but several hundred thousand people must have once lived there. One of the most significant buildings have perished, and even from these, some striking ruins remain. The upper part of the valley is the site of an ancient fortress of palaces, tombs, and amusement resorts, all carved out of the solid rock. Of course, Jesus is our rock, too, so that's good to think of, too. The lower part was apparently a water circus where the people indulged in aquatic sports and tournaments. Petra is a huge excavation made by the forces of nature. From a 9,000-foot plateau from which we saw the mountains of Edom, we dropped down to an altitude of 1,000 feet when we entered the ruined city. All travelers who have visited Petra have marveled at the wonderful tints of its sandstone cliffs. It's carved from the rocks, the colors of which beggar description at certain hours of the day. As we stood and beheld the city, we wondered at times if we were awake or whether we had not been transported to fairyland on a magically colored Persian carpet. Stars or stairs carved from the rock, some more than a mile in length, run to the tops of really all the mountains around Petra. We're up out of the great staircases which winds toward Mount Sacrifice, an isolated peak that dominates the whole face. On reaching this, we found the outlook to be absolutely sublime. The scenes have stirred one's heart, those emotions which have ever led man to worship his creator. All the buildings of the city of ghosts have elaborate facades, which within they are simple and austere. The magnitude and beauty of them even now strike one with awe. How much more they must have meant to the beauty worshippers in the days when the city pulsed with life. But now the only inhabitants of the rose-red city for hundreds of years have been the countless millions of brilliant wildflowers that flourish in the cracks of hundreds of former palaces and temples and wind themselves around half-ruined columns. So goes the description by Mr. Lowell Thomas of the stone city of Petra. Petra is the stone fortress into which the Israelites remnant will flee during the last half of the tribulation period. Petra is carved out of natural sandstone, the mountains of Edom, and carefully preserved by God for a specific purpose in the end of the age, a fortress to house the remnant of the Israelites as they flee before the wrath of Satan's Antichrist, the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. Another name for it is Seir. At the conclusion of the first three-and-a-half-year period, Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren day and night, because God will be thrown out of heaven. Because the last half of the seven-year tribulation period, known as the Great Tribulation, which will be during the time of the pouring out of the seven bowls of God's wrath, there will be no people on the earth to witness for God except the two witnesses spoken of in Revelation chapter 11. Please read the whole thing. It's very important. There, being no one then for Satan to accuse before God, Satan's job, which God permitted him to have, will naturally be finished. We're told in the New Testament that a great war will break out in heaven at that time. Scripture, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Revelation 12, verses 7 and 8. Michael and his angels will fight against Satan and his angels. Michael and his angels will prevail. Satan and his angels will be thrown out of heaven, and their place will be found no more in heaven. Then Satan will come down to the earth, as the Bible says, filled with great wrath and fierce and determination against the Jewish people. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the devil, Satan, saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman Israel, which brought forth the man-child. Revelation 12, verses 12 and 13, and I think you know the man-child is Jesus Christ. The woman in that particular passage of Scripture is the house of Judah, which has technically absorbed all the other 11 tribes. Judah has not taken away their identity, but they are all incorporated in the tribe of Judah. When Satan is thrown out of heaven, he will have great wrath and will persecute the Jewish people in Israel. We brought forth the man-child. The man-child is Jesus Christ. Christ came from the Israelites, but in particular from the tribe of Judah, the fourth tribe. In Revelation chapter 7, it said the angel from heaven to mark 144,000 of the Israelites on her forehead, that is 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, will all be found in the general area of the city of Jerusalem in the tribe of Judah during the tribulation period. A particular mark will protect the 144,000 Israelites from the angel of tribulation, who will come to smite the earth with the awful plagues, such as the seals are being taken off and the seven trumpets being blown. With Satan thrown out of heaven and having great wrath and final persecution of the Israelites will be taken up afresh and directed by Satan's Antichrist. Although the Antichrist will have guaranteed them 7 years of peace, nonetheless, Satan will cause the Antichrist to break the covenant at the halfway point and proclaim himself the Messiah. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. This remnant of Israel, which will be preserved during the last half of the tribulation period, is to be kept in an especially prepared place which God has prepared for them in the mountains of Edom. During their flight from Jerusalem, God is going to uphold them and help them and their journey. But even so, it's going to be very hard and difficult because Matthew warns them they are not to take anything out of their houses and are not to be turned back to get their clothes. He expresses pity upon a woman with a newborn baby and tells them to pray that their flight be not in winter. Matthew 24, 19 and 20 in the King James Version. Even though Satan's wrath will be tremendous at that particular time, we're told in Holy Scripture the remnant will be protected from Satan's wrath, which will be carried out by his Antichrist. You will note the very last part of Revelation 12, 14 says, from the face of the serpent, the Bible says that as the Israelites flee toward the city of Petra, that, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away at the flood. Revelation 12, 15. We've recorded in the Old Testament experience when the ground opened up and swallowed them because of the wrath of God during, because of their disobedience. You remember the 600 people who opposed Moses when he stood before them and said, in effect, if I am a prophet of the Lord, then let the ground open up and swallow you. Numbers 16, 26 to 33. The ground did just that, opened up, 600 men disappeared, the ground closed over them, and they were never heard of again. Same thing will happen again because the Israelites are going to be preserved by God for 1,260 days. When this flood of soldiers, under the inspiration of the satanic Antichrist, pursues the remnant, God is going to cause the ground to open up and swallow the soldiers when the Antichrist will send in pursuit of the remnant of the Israelites on their flight to Petra. Burkhart, the explorer, disguised as a Bedouin, was able to visit Petra for a few hours, but his Arab guides refused to stay with him, believing the city to be cursed. Today, Petra stands as an eternal monument to the miraculous preserving force of God Almighty. After long, dusty centuries, mankind is now beginning to understand why such a city has been preserved. Petra is the stone city to which the Israelites remnant will be free from it before the face of Satan's Antichrist. Here's a scripture. When ye, Israelites remnant, therefore shall see the abomination of a desolation, Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel 9:27, stand in the holy place, and let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16. Of course, now you know it's Petra, Edom, or Syria. It's all the same place. It is in this color-drenched stone city that the Israelites remnant, after fleeing before the wrath of the Antichrist, will be housed and fed for 3.5 years. Scripture, and the woman Israel fled into the wilderness, where she found a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 42 months, or 3.5 years. Revelation 12:6. Again, in the same chapter of Holy Writ, we find another verse which confirms the same time element mentioned in the above verse. Unto the woman Israel were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and half a time, 6 months, from the face of the serpent, Satan's Antichrist. That's Revelation 12:14, and I, of course, you know that's 3.5 years. So we see here that a time, which is 1 year, and times, which is 2 years, equals 3 years. Adding half a time, or 6 months, or 3 years, get 3.5 years, or 1,260 days, agreeing perfectly with various other scriptures concerning various things that are happened to this, in this age, or in that age, excuse me. In the valley where Petra is located, there is a large amphitheater where the Jewish remnant gather and see Jesus Christ stand before them and hear him explain that it was he whom they crucified and put to death in a place of murder by the name of Barabbas. Scripture, and I, God, will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. I will bring you into the wilderness Petra of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, as I will plead with you, saith the Lord God, Ezekiel 20:34-36. When Jesus Christ appears in person before the 144,000 Jews who have fled into the Rosebud City, he will plead with them, please note what will happen at that time. Scripture, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, and shall be a bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah 12:10, KJV. My reason for pointing out Petra's existence to you is that it stands as extraordinary evidence that the second coming of Jesus Christ is getting very near. A few years ago, the kingdom of Jordan became vitally interested in the problem of flash floods taking place in the Petra area. The archaeologists pointed out that the people who ruled Petra long before the Christian era also suffered from flash floods, and because they were hydraulic engineers, they had solved the flood problem. Builder of Petra had erected a stone dam 45 feet high and 140 feet long. The dam was not designed to hold back an entire flood of water, but only to check flood conditions and divert the waters into a system of tunnels quarter of a mile long cut through solid sandstone. Engineers for the Kingdom of Jordan discovered that the tunnels needed only to be cleaned out. Immediate repairs were made, and the flood control system of Petra was again functioning. The Israelites will flee into Petra and be carefully preserved during their stay of 1,260 days in the Rose Red City. Petra is the only known place of its kind in all the world where the Israelites' remnant can be sealed off from the wrath of Satan's Antichrist and be completely sustained by God for 42 months. It would not have done any good for Columbus to have discovered Petra because it was not for his time. It would not have done any good for Napoleon to have discovered it, for the time was not right. But now in the last days, we have many facets of Bible prophecy ripening her immediate fulfillment. The Israelites have been returned to their national homeland from approximately 100 countries of the north, or the earth, excuse me. The armies of the world are now arming for the Battle of Armageddon. We have overwhelming evidence on every hand to prove that we're living in the last days. And the time for the second coming of Jesus Christ draws very near, and Petra, Israel's hiding place, is part of the overall plan. Satan will have the Antichrist go to Jerusalem, stand in the Jewish temple, proclaim himself to be the Jew's Messiah. Now here's the scripture. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. When this takes place, the Jewish remnant will flee into the mountains. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place of the temple, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16. God has plans to use Petra, and in his foreknowledge, he ordained its preservation. He determined that in satanic pursuit of power, the Antichrist should not capture or bring the land of Edom under his jurisdiction. Earlier in our lesson, we saw that this confirmed in Old Testament scripture. Here's the scripture. He, Antichrist, shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. Daniel 11:41 KJV. We learn from the book of Revelation that God has a place prepared for the Jewish remnant, and there he will feed and nourish them from the last half of the tribulation period. And the woman Israel fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 days, 42 months or 3.5 years. Revelation 12:6 KJV. When Jesus Christ comes to the second stage of his second coming, which will be after the Battle of Armageddon, he's to go out into the desert, into the mountains, into the rock city of Petra, known as the Rose Red City, and there plead with the Israelites, showing them beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was their Messiah. On one way, be able to convince them will be to show them the prints of the nails in his hands and feet, the ribbon brow was torn by the crown of Palestinian thorns, and the wound in his side where the Roman soldiers thrusted his spear. Jesus Christ will lead the remnant of the Israelites out of Petra, where they will have been miraculously cared for during 3.5 years, and back to Jerusalem. Others will be hiding themselves in different parts of the world, scared to death, as it were. The Antichrist, but God is going to send fishers and hunters throughout the world in order that all Israelites, no matter where they are in the world, can be taken back to the state of Israel. There's a scripture. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them for every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Jeremiah 16:16. In other words, every Israelite, the whole wide world over, will be gathered back to the state of Israel on that day. Another scripture, so all Israel shall be saved, Romans 11:26, that salvation will be a physical salvation brought out by the hunters and fishers of men, searching out every last Israelite anywhere in the world. That time Christ will begin his reign of 1,000 years, and the 12 apostles will reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. And I, Christ, appoint unto you the apostles. The kingdom is my Father, has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Luke 22:29-30. The white throne judgment will take place at the end of Christ's 1,000-year reign. At that time, all those whose names are not written in the book of life and the Lamb's book of life are to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. While we are at the white throne judgment as witnesses, this earth is to be destroyed by fire. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. We will then come back to the earth, which, since it was burned up, who have been remade into a new earth, and we will come back to it as our eternal home. Be glorified to look like Jesus Christ, having the same glory with no memory of the past. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear on the new earth, we, the saved of all ages, shall be like him, Christ. 1 John 3:2. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Isaiah 65:17. So we conclude this lesson. We see the reason for the Israelites being brought into being in a miraculous manner, being continually preserved, protected, and cared for, even preserving a city, Petra, for them, so he may deal with them in a manner in which he has never dealt with any other nation in order to provide eternal salvation for the world's people. Surely God is good, long, long-suffering, and faithful in the keeping of his many promises. God must at all times preserve the seed of Abraham. And the next lesson will be the Antichrist.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about Israel's hiding place. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear about a little station ID and about the great programming found only here at the 6Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the 6Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on 6Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the 6Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the 6Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the 6Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God left us, it's because we
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the 6Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah, we're back and I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? Which of David's enemies do you dislike most? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Jim, and me.
Okay, so it's just you that's around to answer the question. Six looks like he took a powder. All right, so for you, Ruthie, unless Emily and Jim, if Emily's with Jim and she decides that she wants to answer the question of the day, they could press the number one. They know what to do. But for you, here's the question. Which of David's enemies, of all the enemies he had, which one would you say you dislike most?
Saul, because I couldn't stand how he treated him like as if he was running around a dogging him like as if he was going to kill him all the time. It got ridiculous.
Well, I would have to say the same. Even though I like his persistence, even though it was directed in the wrong manner. I'd have to say that, okay? Because but we know why it was evil spirit in Saul. But that's why I have to agree with that. It's just he of all of David's enemies, he was the one that was there the longest and was aggravating David the longest. I mean, Goliath, it was just a real quick thing, boom, and it was over with. And most of the other enemies of David, it was a quick thing and it was over with. But Saul, he was around for months, if not years, on end, just being a nuisance. But yet, even then, through all of that, David did not give in, as we're later going to see. David, when he had the chance on several occasions to kill Saul, he didn't do it. He did not take vengeance. Which tells us something very interesting. When we have a chance to have revenge and take it out on somebody that may be taking crap out on us, when it's time for us to get revenge, we could learn a lesson from David. We don't have to take it out. No matter how bad someone's treated us, we do not have to take it out on them because, hey, we can let God have it because God will eventually get even. Amen. All right. So considering the fact we lost six and I was going to have him close in prayer, we'll let you take care of that, Ruthie, and then we'll close out with our Red Sylvine song unless they had pressed the one over there.
No, there's nobody pressing any number one here. There's no little hand up or anything.
All right, Ruth, then close us in a word of prayer.
All right, we love you, Lord, and praise your name, and thank you for the program. I hope somebody learned something from the lesson of David, and we can all work on ourselves, but the Lord is with us, and he helps us, too. That's more important to read the Word of God all the time, as much as you can, because you learn a whole lot more from it. I'm glad that I'm learning now more than I ever have because I'm trying to spend more time with that and studying the Word. So we love you and praise your name, Lord. We thank you. Amen.
Amen. And like I said, this Red Sylvine song goes especially out to Emily if she's listening. It's kind of her theme song. And so here we go with Daisy's Chain of Love by Red Sylvine.
Daisy wasn't very pretty, wicked, you must remember. God loves everybody, and I know those words were true that Daisy said.